Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Shortly before Jesus died on the cross, he was having a meal at the house of Simon the leper. During the meal, a woman poured an expensive ointment on Jesus' head. Some were indignant, calling the costly act wasteful. However, Jesus heralded it as an act of worshipful devotion that should be declared wherever the gospel is preached. True acts of worshiping God are never a waste. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 14 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of verses 1 through 11.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy.
Mark 14, verses 1 through 11. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat or at dinner, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me. For the poor you always have with you, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they had heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. David Guzik writes this: the time is significant because there was at Passover not only a great expectation of the Messiah, but Jerusalem was also crowded with these Messiah-expecting multitudes. Since Passover remembered the time when God raised up a great deliverer and freed Israel from foreign oppression, it was a time of great patriotic and messianic anticipation. Every male Jew who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem had come to Jerusalem for Passover. Many more came from great distances, including Galilee. Many people who had heard and saw Jesus in the region of Galilee were here with great respect and great expectation regarding Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us in chapter 26, verse 3, that this event took place at the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest. In John chapter 11, verse 44, it says that the council and the chief priests, or John 11, 47, pardon me, it says they held a council and they said, what shall we do? This man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will come to believe on him. What a shame, right? And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. Now, this event took place 6 days before Passover, which would put it on Friday before the triumphal entry. And I want you to notice here, saints, that these deeply religious leaders were not afraid to murder the Son of God. They just believed that they had to do it in the most politically correct way. They didn't want to kill Jesus during the Passover feast, but they ended up doing it anyways. You know why? Because they weren't in control. just like you and I aren't in control. God's in control. And once again, it clearly shows that Jesus was in command, and though the leaders acted according to the evil inclination of their hearts, their actions were actually fulfilling the prophecies of when Jesus, the Passover lamb, would be crucified. It's comforting to know that the Most High God, our God, that we call Father, rules over every single thing, over every single detail to bring about his purposes, and nothing can stop that. So we move from this meeting to arrest Jesus to one of the most, I believe, significant accounts in Scripture. And it's the account of the anointing of Jesus at Bethany. Now, as a side note, this should not be confused with a similar event that took place in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. There, an unnamed woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, we know that she was a converted harlot who had expressed her love for Christ because of his gracious forgiveness of her many sins. Neither Mark nor Matthew names the woman, but John tells us that it was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And so here in verse 3, being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, not Simon the Pharisee, this woman, as they're sitting at dinner, has this alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She breaks the box open and pours it on his head. John 12:3 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, the fragrance of her sacrifice. Mary is found three times in the gospel stories, and each time she's at the feet of Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You and I have chosen that good part for right here and for right now. Mary, when a house full of guests are over and dinner is being prepared, Jesus starts a Bible study. And Martha basically said, you know, really, Messiah? Is this the time? Is this the place for a Bible study? And don't you care that my sister's not helping me? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. Mary's chosen the thing that will not be taken away. In John chapter 11, that's the chapter where Lazarus had died and Jesus rose him from the dead. The Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Jesus probably was thinking, just wait. Just wait. And here, this same Mary pours out her life for him. But notice the reaction. in verse 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Has anybody ever told you that living your life for Christ and for his glory is a waste of time? Beloved, nothing that is given to Jesus, done for Jesus and his glory, is ever wasted. Paul the Apostle tells us at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Now, and we're going to look into this in a few minutes, how the world defines a waste and what God calls a waste are vastly different. And so the question that each one of us, myself included, at the top of the list, needs to ponder this morning is this. By which definition of waste do you believe and live your life? The fallen world system's definition of a waste, or what the Lord Jesus Christ calls a waste? The ointment that Mary poured out on the Lord was done with a specific purpose. Matthew 26, 12 says, for in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And so according to Jesus, Mary was preparing his body for burial, and she anointed his head and, John says, his feet. Now, don't overlook this. Mary, no doubt, had heard Jesus teach. Mary was a woman that got it. Jesus had been saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And she got it. It's amazing. She got it. And an apostle and some of the disciples didn't get it. This ointment was very, very expensive. In fact, some even say that this ointment would have been reserved by a woman who was a virgin to be given to her bridegroom when she met him. We know that this ointment was a special kind of spikenard, and the historians tell us it was imported from India, and the jar would have been equivalent to 1 year's income. What does that tell you? Well, one thing it tells me is that Mary valued Jesus more than her most valuable possession. Do you? Do I? Think of your most valuable possession poured out on Jesus. And how does she do this? Quietly? Does he do this because so that nobody can see? Now, there is a way when we give, we are to be giving. We know to not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. There's a way of giving that is not proper. But here, this is a public place, like here, like for you and me gathered here. And she lavishly and lovingly pours out the most expensive thing that she possessed upon the Lord. She wasn't ashamed to show her love for Christ openly. She showed her love for Jesus while he was still alive. You know, we only get to do this once. Today is a day that we get to show our love for Christ. And it's interesting because many times we show our love for Christ by showing love to those in need. In Matthew 25, Jesus, when he separated the sheep from the goats, says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger or took you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Many times, when we are showing love for those that are hurting, those that are needy, those that are sick, those that are incarcerated, we're actually doing it. When we do it as unto the Lord, Jesus says, you've done it as unto me. Jesus was asked, what are the great commandments? He says, the great commandments is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so when a person is born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are going to be a lover of the living God. They're going to be a lover of Jesus Christ. They're going to be a lover of the Spirit of God. And they are going to be people who love the Lord in loving people. Now in verse 9, Jesus says in Mark 14, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So preachers like myself have been very, very amiss. Because the Lord says, every time the gospel is preached, mention her. So important was this act of devotion that Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, whatever century, whatever culture, wherever it's preached, this act of devotion is to be mentioned. That is extremely significant. The account of Mary's devotion towards Jesus Christ was such an example and such a blessing, not only to him, but to the early church. And because of the records in the three gospels, Mary's devotion to Christ, beloved, is a call of what it means to be sold out for Jesus Christ. What we learn from Mary, according to Jesus, is this. Ready? Your life and your lifestyle is your statement of faith. Mary, what she did was her theology in practice. She was living out her convictions. Your life, my life, your lifestyle, my lifestyle reveals what we believe, what standards we live our lives by, what we consider to be a waste or not a waste. Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment. But Mark then goes back to Judas in verses 10 and 11. Judas, one of the 12, one of the chief priests, to betray him unto them. Now, he would betray him for what? 30 pieces of silver, the price of a gourd slave in the old covenant. A gourd ox. Pardon me. And when they heard it, they were glad. They promised to give him money. And he sought how he may conveniently betray him. So Judas solved the problem of how the Jewish leaders could arrest Jesus without causing a riot during the feast. And as I said, according to Exodus 21:32, he sold his master for the price of a slave. To me, that is the basest act of treachery in all of history. And then he said this, the one that I kiss in the garden is him. Tragic. Warren Wiersbe writes this. By placing this story of the lavish expression of the devotion of Mary between the accounts of the plot to arrest Jesus, Mark contrasted the treachery of Judas and the leaders with the love and loyalty of Mary. The ugliness of their sins makes the beauty of her sacrifice even more meaningful. So back to something that I mentioned a couple of moments ago. For you here, beautiful day. If you're home watching online and you could have been here, oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. But I want to ask you a question, and I've asked myself this question. Are you wasting your life? I want you to ponder that question as we work our way through some of the practical applications from this deed of Mary. I find myself in reading this scripture being very impressed by many of the women in the Bible. Mary being one, of course, Mary, our Lord's mother, being one, Deborah being one, Aquila and Priscilla being one. There are so, Esther being one. Women that have such a strong love for the Lord and a strong conviction. Their price is far above rubies. I'm married to one. I asked you if you're wasting your life. Well, what is a waste? Well, by definition, a waste is something that is considered to be a tragic loss. Something that is misused. Or what a shame. You could be making so much more money if you just played drums in a rock and roll band, Pastor Ray. A waste is something that you can do without. You don't save your garbage, do you? I know some of you are going to say, well, I put it in the compost. I'm not talking about that. It's something that has no real value to you. You see, as a born-again believer, our value system and what we consider to be a waste is far different than what the world's value system is and what they consider to be a waste. And Mary provides for us a beautiful and unashamed expression of what it means to be devoted to Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Mary would have showed her love for Christ whether there was a house, whether even if there wasn't a house full of people. This was just the way she was. And yet, some of Jesus' disciples, influenced by Judas Iscariot, regarded her lavish act of devotion as a waste. And they couched their unbelief, they couched what they considered to be a waste in spiritual lingo. Now, follow this with me. Here we are at the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. He's been teaching now publicly for at least 3 years, close to 3 years. And here at the end of 3 years, an apostle didn't get it. Many of the Lord's disciples didn't get it. They failed to grasp what Jesus was saying. They failed to grasp this, the priority of loving Jesus Christ more than anyone or anything. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can also subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our regular services. Nursery and youth activities will be available. Please check our website for last-minute changes or cancellations due to weather or other causes. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester, New York. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.